Hello and welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today as we kick off opening week in the NBA. The Dubs finished up preseason last Friday. Going to talk a little bit about that. Also got some sound from John Hollinger I want to get to as well. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today as we get ready for the NBA season to start. Starts officially tomorrow with the Pelicans and the Raptors going head-to-head. Then we got the Battle of L.A. with the Lakers and the Clippers taking on each other at Staples. Technically, it's an away game for the Lakers, which is so ridiculous, but whatever. Either way, I'm just excited basketball's back starting tomorrow. Full slate Wednesday. Thursday is the one we're looking for as Warriors fans. Only three games on Thursday: Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee at Houston, and then, of course, Clippers at Golden State. So I wanted to start with the final preseason game on Friday that was, it was a mixed bag, honestly. I'll start at the beginning where the Lakers were sitting out. Kyle Kuzma was obviously injured, but Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Quinn Cook, Rajon Rondo, Danny Green, and Avery Bradley. So the Warriors were basically playing a G League team for the most part, minus, Troy Daniels, Caldwell Pope, and Jared Dudley. So they got out to a really slow start, which is frustrating and something they're going to have to fix, because it's one thing to do it when you're going up against LeBron and AD, but when you do it against these guys, against Alex Caruso, Kaycock, Giannis's little brother, guys I've never heard of. Zach Norvell went for 29, and maybe Norvell's a player, but still, that was the ugly part that I can't just overlook that. Even though there were plenty of positives to come from this game, that was one massive negative. The positives, of course, Steph had a fine game, wasn't his best or anything, but it still managed to put up 32 points in 33 minutes. He was 9 of 20 from the field, 6 of 15 from 3. Steph is going to be Steph. There's no worry about what Steph is going to be able to do this season. If he can get enough one-on-one matchups, because that's the other thing, too, that we saw all throughout the preseason, which I was a little surprised that the Lakers were doing so much, because it is preseason, as they were sending to it Steph all the time. And that's what teams are going to do until guys like Glenn Robinson, D'Angelo Russell, Draymond to an extent, Marquese Chris, all these guys prove themselves to be reliable shooters. They're going to send to it Steph. And one of the bright spots was, like I said, until they prove themselves to be reliable shooters, definitely the best game of D'Angelo Russell's preseason, no doubt about it. Played 28 minutes, scored 29 points, 9 of 19 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3, which for me is huge because he's shown flashes of everything else offensively, his smooth game, getting to the rim, getting to his spots, all that stuff, his passing. He is a slick passer. I'm really excited about him. But the one thing we hadn't seen was a good game from 3. He started out, I think in his first game, he was, 2 of 9, something like that. Last game, he was 3 of 8, and then this game, he really turned it on, going 6 of 11, and part of that was he had a little flurry at the beginning of the fourth to really put the Warriors ahead and put the game away. So like I said, I'm really excited about D'Angelo Russell. His passing, especially in transition, is something pretty sweet, and definitely something that the Warriors are going to take advantage of. Let's go to Glenn Robinson, who has taken the starting small forward spot. Steve Kerr confirmed it in his press availability. And I know some people have said, well, won it by default because Alphonso McKinney had to get waived for Marquese Chris and Alec Burks was injured. So, yes, the Alec Burks injury did leave it the spot open for him to take, but he took it from Alphonso McKinney. It's not as if Alphonso McKinney played better, but they just had to cut him to keep Marquise Chriss. Glenn Robinson has played well in his, three starts in the preseason? And in this game, he went 3 of 6 from the field, 3 of 5 from three, and all of those were from the right corner, and that's something that's going to be huge. If he can do that consistently, that will be big for the Warriors because they need role players to step up, and they need consistency out of these role players, and Glenn Robinson has shown some of that. He's great athletically, whether it's in transition or in the half court, a solid alley-oop option for Draymond or Steph, kind of can take that role, that at least that part that Andre played as the dunker position, so to speak. So he was good, and I just don't like the idea that he won it by default. He took it. He took the job from Alphonso McKinney, which is too bad, but you know that's how it goes. That's how it goes in professional sports. Draymond Green, again, was he I give him credit for attacking the boards the way he did. I'll put it that way. The shooting still isn't great. He was 1 of 2 from 3, 4 of 12 from the field for 9 points. And he's still going to they're going to need more scoring from him. They're going to need more efficiency from him. They're going to need him to be better offensively or scoring-wise, excuse me. I hate when I do that, when I just say offensively, because Draymond does affect the game offensively, but scoring-wise, he needs to be better. And that's just the truth, basically. Marquise Chriss, another solid performance from him, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, what do you want? The guy's been consistent, and that's why he has the roster spot that he does and why he could potentially start on opening night, but we did get some updates that lead me to believe he won't be, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Another thing I want to give credit for, I mentioned Draymond getting on the boards, Glenn Robinson as well, and then Omari Spellman and Eric Paschal really attacked the boards too, and Jacob Evans. Jacob Evans had 5, Eric Paschal had 7, Spellman had 9, Glenn Robinson 6, Chris 7, Draymond 12. This is still going to be a problem for him, and it's going to be a problem for him the entire season, but to see them bounce back and fight for it the way they did in this game was good to see. Now, besides the rebounding, Spellman was not great, but you do have to give him credit for being on the boards the way he was. So the Warriors get the win 124-103. You might have noticed that there were a couple of players that I left out of this discussion, and they were the rookies, Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal, but that's because I want to talk about them in just a minute. But first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering the code LOCKEDON at checkout. That is code LOCKEDON at checkout. You may have noticed that I left out a couple of young players in my review of this last game, and that's because I wanted to give them a little bit of special attention and talk about some of the positives, and that's Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole. And one of the things why I left them out is because I think one of the biggest takeaways from this preseason and from this season is that I think the Warriors more or less nailed their 2 draft picks. I think that Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal are going to be rotation players in the NBA for a long time. I think Poole's got a high ceiling with his ability. His jumper is smooth. His confidence is through the roof. He's a good athlete. He's good coming off screens. He's got a solid feel for the game offensively. Defensively, could definitely use some work. He may not ever be a good defender, but one of the things that is a positive, an intriguing positive for me at least, is the fact that I do think he does have the athletic ability and size and strength that he's actually gaining. He's working hard on putting on strength and putting on muscle. I think he has all the tools available to him to become a better defender. Now, whether that ever happens or not, who knows? But at the very least, it's there. It's not where a guy like D'Angelo Russell just might not be athletic enough to ever be a good defender. But I think Jordan Poole does have that ability. And Eric Paschal, who they took at 41 in the second round, to get a role player that you feel that you can put in the rotation from day one at 41 a low-ceiling, high-floor role player like him is huge. I mean, it's what they wanted out of the draft. Here are three things they wanted out of the draft. Two role players and Alan Smilegeach each, and they got all three. Eric Paschal, he's going to be a solid defender, a little undersized at the four, at least height-wise, but bulk-wise, no question. I mean, he is a grown man. And that's something we saw in this last preseason game, is he was in there banging, getting rebounds. Now, obviously, like I said, his height won't allow him to get them all, but he's going to be in there and fight. He's also got solid touch around the rim. The jumper has a little hitch to it, but the bottom line is he's going to be a contributing role player for the Warriors this year and for years to come. Same thing with Jordan Poole. I just wanted to give them credit for seemingly nailing these draft picks. I know it's early. I know it's very early, but through five preseason games, it looks like they got it right. And these guys aren't getting these rotation minutes out of necessity. They're getting them because they're good enough. Trust me, if Jordan Poole wasn't good enough, he wouldn't be getting them. If Eric Paschal wasn't good enough, he wouldn't be getting them. We'd be seeing a lot more of, you know, Jacob Evans or Alec Burks, who's been injured, or Spellman or whoever. The thing is, these guys are good enough, have proven to be good enough at the moment. Again, I always have to hedge my bet and just make sure we all know that it is only five preseason games. But from the five preseason games that we've seen, I've been very impressed and want to give credit to the Warriors and Bob Myers for seemingly nailing those picks. In that last preseason game, Jordan Poole had 8 points. He was 3 of 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from three. And I know it's funny, 2 of 5, every time I see 2 of 5, I'm like, well, that's not great. But look, if he goes 2 of 5 from three every single game, guess what that is? A 40% three-point shooter. It's something I always got to remind myself of. And then Eric Paschal, 11 points, 3 of 6 from the field, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He was flying around. He's a little underrated athletically as well because of how big he is. But they both get after it, and I'm excited for both of them. Now, you may or may not have heard that we recently, here at the Locked On Podcast Network, launched a new national show with John Hollinger and Nate Duncan, the NBA show. And it's great. Go check it out. I mean, if you don't know those names, I don't know why you're even listening to me. That's the thing. This is the we're the basketball nerds, so I assume you know who John Hollinger and Nate Duncan are. But if not, John Hollinger is an analytics pioneer who has front office experience with the Memphis Grizzlies. He was their former executive vice president of basketball operations, and then Nate Duncan is one of the better analysis in the NBA, especially when it comes to analytics. And so definitely go check out their show, the NBA show. It's on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hollinger and Duncan, they, trust me, they know their stuff. And like I said, if you're listening to me and don't know who these guys are, you skipped a step. You know, these are the guys to know. John Hollinger, like I said, analytics pioneer. He came up with the PER stat, player efficiency rating, that you use for offense. And that you know, Steph Curry set records in. So definitely go check them out. But they also talked about recently on one of their podcasts about the Golden State Warriors. And Hollinger had some interesting things to say about the Golden State Warriors.
They're going to have four good players out there to start the game, right? You got Steph, Russell, Green, and either Cauley-Stein or Looney, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Cauley-Stein and Looney are not making the All-Star game, but they're, you know, they're solid enough. You're going to have at least one pretty good big, whoever doesn't start among those two. Now, obviously, you're going to have some attrition during the year and guys will miss games with injuries or whatnot, but you still have most nights, probably, arguably the best offensive player in the league and arguably the best defensive player in the league. And I think the last couple of years were so easy for them that it was easy to forget how talented they could be when they were really locked in, because they just didn't have to lock in that much. And you could see it. I mean, there were so many games where they were just clearly kind of waiting around for whatever comes next, whether it's, you know, the playoffs, which it's hard when you're on a team that's that loaded and you kind of know in the back of your mind, you just have to kind of get to X number of wins and wait till the playoffs. And it's hard to dial up every night. And we saw that. I mean, We beat them in Memphis with teams that were massively less talented multiple times. And it was entirely contingent on what kind of mood they were in that night. You know what I mean? Like, as proud as we were of our own team winning, we kind of knew that if they had really come to play, we probably wouldn't have.
Now, I want to start with what he first said and what I definitely agree with that I think has gotten, I guess, overlooked. It depends who you listen to, because the opinions on this team are so wide-ranging from, oh, some people think they'll be back in the finals. Other people think they're going to miss the playoffs. So it depends on who you listen to, because the opinions are all over the place. But I think this is still a good team, because like you said, you have probably the best offensive player in the game and one of the best defensive players in the game in Steph and Draymond. You got D'Angelo Russell, who, again, opinions are mixed, but that guy, like we just saw in this last preseason game, can get you 30 on 19 shots and can go 6 of 11 from 3. He can fill it up. On top of that, whether it's Looney or Cauley-Stein, you have a good starting center. So you're going to have four good players on the floor at any time to start the game, to finish the game, what have you. Throw Glenn Robinson in there, and like I mentioned earlier, his role will be to knock down corner threes, play some defense, get out in transition. And those are things that he does well. So I do think there's upside for this team. So that's the starting five, though. Now let's look at the bench. Jacob Evans, I've been happy with some of the things that he's been able to do, at least compared to last year. Great role player? No, but we'll have to wait and see what kind of role player he is. Great, though, I'm pretty firm in saying he's not. Let's say they start Looney, then you have Willie Cauley-Stein coming off the bench. And maybe, you know, it's a better matchup for Marquese Chriss. That's something that Steve Kerr said recently. It'll, again, be center by committee, which it always has been for Steve Kerr. You look at the rookies who I talked about. Those are two role players. How good of role players are they? Don't know. Good enough. Good enough to be role players, I can tell you that. And then on top of it, you got a guy like Alec Burks, who, though injured, we're expecting to be back soon and expecting to play. So, and Alec Burks can fill it up as well. He can get you buckets, come in, be a microwave scorer. Defensively, they're going to struggle. Offensively, though, like John Hollinger said, that's four good players to start the game. And then if you can find the right mix of role players coming off the bench, it's not going to be much different than the players they have now because of the hard cap, like we've talked about extensively. But if you can find the right mix night to night, this could be a good team. I want to also talk about what he said towards the end, where it just really depended on how the Warriors felt over the last 5 years, whether they decided they wanted to play that night or not, because they know how good they were, looking ahead towards a different opponent, looking ahead towards the playoffs, etc. Now, I don't think that's going to be the problem with this team, because they're not that those same all-time great teams that have the luxury of knowing they're going to be in the playoffs, luxury of knowing they can be the one seed if they try, knowing they can win games if they try for 7 minutes in the third quarter. But along those same lines, is this group going to be motivated? Are Steph and Draymond going to be motivated to try and prove the naysayers wrong? Or try and prove the supporters right? Are they going to be motivated to go out there and try and play 82 games at the highest level possible? Is D'Angelo Russell motivated, even though he just signed, you know, a $117 million contract? Some of these guys, some of these role players, these Willie Cauley-Stein, Glenn Robinson types, who I like them as players, but the fact is they didn't have better offers out there. Are they motivated to try and change the narrative? So even though it's a different mindset, it's still the same thing John Hollinger was talking about. Will this team have the drive to do this every night? Or are they going to go into a place like Memphis and just let Memphis get a win? Because I remember some of those wins he was talking about. There were some ugly ones against Memphis. I think Bruno Caboclo went for like 30 against the Warriors at one point. So can this team mentally take the challenge of being locked in every night. It's something I'm excited to see. But also talking about the four good players, the starters, etc., that's the one thing that makes me nervous. And he said there's going to be some attrition, meaning injuries, and I think that's what would potentially derail this team. Not having Steph for a stretch, not having Draymond for a stretch. And again, who knows what's going to happen with Clay when it becomes time to evaluate whether he can come back or not. Do they even want him back? Are they in a situation where it's, okay, we're going to shut you down for the entire year because we're out of the playoff hunt because Steph missed 20 games. So I'm with Hollinger on the fact that it's going to be attrition, but I also agree with him that I think this team is good. They're going to fight. They're going to be in the fight for the playoffs. That's for damn sure. Speaking of some of the younger players, there have been some rookie contract extensions that have gone out recently. Luckily, the Warriors don't have to worry about any of those. The only person that would have been eligible for that is Damian Jones, who they ended up moving for Amari Spellman. But there are some other deadlines coming up. We're going to talk about those in just a minute. The deadline for the rookie extensions is coming up on Tuesday, I believe. And then the deadline for the third and fourth year options for rookies is also coming up, I believe, end of October. And so the deadline for extensions doesn't affect the Warriors because, like I said, the only one that they would have had to think about extending is Damian Jones, and he's on the Hawks, and they wouldn't have extended him. But the deadline for the third and fourth year options for guys still on their rookie contracts is coming up, and that does affect Jacob Evans and Amari Spellman. I would imagine that Jacob Evans will have his third year option picked up because I think he's improved. I do think he's going to be a solid role player for them this year, solid rotation piece, especially because of his ability defensively. And even if he doesn't take the massive steps that they want him to take as a backup point guard and with his jump shot and his aggressiveness on the offensive side of the ball, scoring-wise mostly, he's still a solid defender. And you can still be happy with the fact that you have a solid wing defender at, you know, the price of, I think, less than $2 million next year. So I do expect his to be picked up. Amari Spellman, doubtful. I think it's doubtful. Unless, of course, the Warriors look at it next year that they're not going to have the hard cap restrictions. And if they do pick it up and it doesn't work out, all it'll cost them is money. But a lot of money because of the luxury tax. So I still think it's doubtful for Amari Spellman. But we will see. Maybe they like his potential so much that they do pick up his option. But that's the thing. It's all potential with him because he, for a jump shooting big, he hasn't knocked down a lot of jumpers in games yet. And maybe they see something different in practice. Who knows? But if I was a gambling man, I would bet on them picking up Jacob Evans' third-year option and not Amari Spellman's. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Warriors. Thank you to John Hollinger and Nate Duncan for their audio on the Warriors. Go ahead and go and subscribe, rate, and review the NBA show with John Hollinger and Nate Duncan. Comes out once a week. And while you're there, why don't you go ahead and, you know, throw a subscribe, rate, and review my way, too, for Locked On Warriors. Thank you guys once again for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.